The West Live. The West Live with Ben O'Shea.
Okay, now just imagine for a second you're at your job. I know it's not the nicest image, and all of a sudden a higher-up who you've never met dumps double the workload and responsibility onto you, and you have to do it or you can face massive consequences or even lose your job. Oh, and you have to do it without getting a pay rise. That's the situation facing WA's public school principals at the moment, who've been forced to implement and enforce COVID rules and, by all accounts, without a lot of support. Joining me now to explain the situation is President of the Principal Federation of WA, Bevan Rip. Good morning, Bevan.
Good morning, Ben.
And so, what is life like for WA principals at the moment?
They're doing it pretty tough. The COVID situation hasn't helped. But just on your opening remarks, I will say one thing, that the Education Department itself is actually doing everything it can to support principals, given the resources available to it. Our issue is the capacity of government to come to the party a bit more and help principals out.
Mm. Well, let's talk about what the job principals are doing at the moment, because it's kind of like every school is a mini Western Australia and the principal is the premier, having to keep it safe, keep COVID out, and then when COVID does get in, you've got to try and manage it. But I imagine that the principals aren't seeing the same kind of pay packet that the premier is. So is that a bit what it's like at the moment?
Yeah, it is. The issue around COVID in particular is that the instructions coming to principals are often confusing, contradictory, and for principals to navigate their way through them and try to make sense of them so that they can communicate that to their communities is a big part of the problem.
Mm, because it's, as well as managing staffing, and there might be teachers who are close contacts are rubbed out for 7 days. You've got classes that might be hit by COVID cases as well. But then it's the interesting thing you touch on there is the communicating with, the families, the parents of kids, but the school community. How important, how much more of a responsibility has that become this year with Omicron spreading through our schools?
It's become more difficult on a number of fronts. If we talk about, opportunities that are available to kids and principals trying to maintain programs in their schools so that kids get their opportunities. On one hand, the instructions say you can't have school assemblies, but it's okay to have a ball. You can't put multiple groups of kids together so they can train for a sporting event, but you can have a sports carnival of inter-school proportions. Those sorts of contradictory messages, parents really have a great difficulty in getting their heads around, and principals have to try and deliver a message that is easily understood. So there's a lot of work goes into that, which is, it just takes time. It takes a lot of time away from really what principals essentially need to be doing, and that is monitoring the quality of the learning programs that are available to the kids. Mm. Their time is being taken away from that essential role to be devoted to a whole pile of other things. Now, in a large school, so senior high school that's got 1,500 plus kids, big staff, some of these roles in terms of taking in the messaging and getting it out to parents can be delegated to other staff. In smaller schools, and I'm talking about here particularly smaller primary schools, district high schools in the regions, education support centres, principals haven't got that luxury. They have no one around them to be able to delegate these sorts of roles to, so the whole load comes onto them. And that's where they're getting very tight. I mean, I've never seen a start of a year where 2.5 weeks in, people are looking really bedraggled and looking towards the rest of the term, thinking, what next is going to come down and hit us?
Mm. Well, it's interesting that you say that, Bevan. We spoke to the teachers' union yesterday, and they said, you know, looking at their members, there was an exhaustion that had crept in. It's not even the end of week three of term one that would normally, you wouldn't see it until, you know, maybe term three of the school year, but we're already there right at the start of the year. And there was concerns about, I guess, the mental health of teachers going forward. Do you have the same fears for the people who are working in the principal's office?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if we're talking about teachers, I mean, teachers obviously work very hard on behalf of a class of students, but that's where their focus is, and their energies are around that class of kids. You know, as your school gets larger, multiply that by for a school principal and their leadership team. You get into a larger primary school, multiply that level of anxiety by 20, by 30, by 40, as you get into the much bigger senior high schools with a staff of 200, what a teacher is feeling multiplies to a great degree for the principal and the leadership team around them.
Mm. And in your op-ed that you wrote for The West today, you said it was time that the state government came to the party and listened to your calls for increased pay for principals. What do you want from the government?
Okay, salary is just one aspect of it, but I will make a comparison with Victoria here. Now, it's a tale of two governments. Now, Victoria has copped a fair bit of flak for its management of COVID over the last couple of years, we all know. But in terms of education, they are poles ahead of the government here in terms of how they value education and value the people that work in it. And they've just made an offer over there where they've recognised that to attract people into school leadership, you've got to provide incentive, and that's both in terms of salary, but also in terms of some of the support mechanisms you put around people in that role. I'm talking, that's about looking after their mental health and well-being. It's about if you want people to go to regional WA, for instance, you've got to provide some incentive to get people to go there. And that is, look at their housing, look at the quality of the housing, look at the cost of the housing, look at the allowances that you pay to try and offset the difference in cost of living, say, between the metropolitan area to some of the Wheatbelt locations, through to the Pilbara, through to the Kimberley. They're the sorts of things that we need to see happening here. And that's about placing a value on the people you have working in this system, which is a great system, but it's not going to continue to be great if you don't support the people that make it great.
Yep, I think that makes pretty good sense to me. President of the Principals Federation of WA, Bevan Ripp, thanks for joining us on The West Live.
Thanks, Ben.
To have your say, or if you have a story, email the team at thewestlive@wanews.com.au.